want to get back to this love aspect of Imam Khomeini. Who puts that love there?
God.
Why?
Why? Because there is a holy tradition. There's a hadith of Qudsi.
Right.
Holy
so there's nothing complicated about this.
No, I'll make it simple for you.
Right.
I read it. I translate it. I'm trying to explain it. Okay? Then we understand. God says to his holy prophet in a holy tradition. It says, Kunto Kanzan Makhfiyan. God talking about himself.
Right.
I was a hidden treasure.
Treasure, yes. From Hadith Qudsi, yes.
Fa'ahbabto. I love to. I like to. To be
known.
To be recognized. As simple as that. Love comes from Allah.
But it's important because in the
you know
English,
why? Because
in the English
if it wasn't for love, if it wasn't for likeness, okay, there is no reason to live because we're not solid.
Sure.
We're not rock. We have to have some certain feelings.
I think for our listeners, we have to mention the point here, though, that the Arabic is much more sophisticated than just saying in
and
English.
And it takes time to explain.
Yeah,
it.
Just to say that he wanted to be known, that's not because of a need.
He loved to. He liked to.
Yeah, it's because of the fact that, he has the power to bring things into existence.
And
that existence is the perfection of that creator.
Exactly.
So that is the point we want to make here. That this
and this is a favor he gave us.
This is a favor.
This is a favor.
That's it. Thank you for that. And I wanted to get back to that point that you mentioned before about knowing Quran, because Imam Khomeini says in that Hukumat Islam, he says Quran was being recited by beautiful singers and parrot fashion. 1400 years, what's going on? Why parrot fashion? Why does Imam make such a claim in his book? Because at the end of the day, not knowing this book has been the problem. That has been the source of our troubles for the last 1400 years. And he brought back the true reading of the Quran. Even he's pointed out the fact that those schools of thought that claim to know something about the Quran were erroneous in what they were doing.
And
because of the fact that they didn't have the key that was needed to take us towards that perfection.
The main key.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about.
When you talk about Quran, again, we're not talking about something, we're not fantasizing.
Yeah, we're not fantasizing.
We have it. It's available.
Yeah.
This is example I give you sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't appreciate Quran. You know why?
No.
Because they send us to us free. It was sent to us free. We don't appreciate it. Anything free, just like, we pollute the air. We don't pay for it.
We don't pay for it.
Okay?
But if we had to pay for it.
Having said that, having said that, I give you another example.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this particular copy of Quran was the very last Quran on earth and it was hidden in somewhere that you don't know?
Yeah.
How much you would pay to get back it, to get back to it?
Or, no.
Have you ever thought about this?
Let's go into that. Let's go into that analogy. That's a very beautiful point you're picking up there. Again, as you say, we don't give the value that deserves to be given. I mean, this has been a problem throughout our Muslim history. And I call it a black Muslim history. I'm sorry I use that word, but I have no option but to use this word. And the reason being...
And you're not trying to be pessimistic about
this. No, I'm not pessimistic.
I'm
simply using that word in the sense that we had valuable personalities.
Because here we're trying to realize the difficulties and throw a solution.
Yeah, these treasures, like Imam Ali, that the Holy Prophet refers to as the gate of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we threw it away.
And who is the key? Imam.
Imam. We threw it away in Karbala. They were riding horses over the holy personality of Imam Hussein. That was different. That's a difficult thing for me to say. But the thing is that is the thing, as you quite rightly say, that is the price of this book that we don't appreciate. And this man says that whatever I have brought it to you from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I'd like to...
From the movement of Ashura.
Sure.
Yeah, this is one of...
Yeah, an important build-up in the personality of the Imam. I'd like to go into that tradition, that why this plays such an important part in the personality of the Imam, hopefully in the next session. But definitely this is a subject we need to speak about, but this simplicity, please tell us, Dr. Hasni, about how simple, because you lived in those times, how simple was Imam? Because I remember you mentioned to me in a conversation that, you know, he was speaking to the people, the bakers. He was talking about power politics to the bakers.
When he said the famous statement that American administration, that is, again, cannot do a damn thing. Mm. He said it in a gathering with the homies, bakers, at the time.
That's the people of the city of Qom.
This is how respectful he was toward every single person. He didn't see him as something different. He said, I respect you because God created you. God put you on earth. And God put some certain connection between us. All the relationship that we should or we're supposed to have with each other.
Right. And ask me
how he got it from.
Yeah, where he got it from.
From Quran.
Yes.
Again. Quran talks, you know, he said God is powerful. Mm. We understand it very easy. And somebody that who wants to get into different level of the might, he can study.
I want to throw something in here straight away.
Do you know how you become simple? When you have the true knowledge, Brother Ejaz. Think about what I said.
Yeah, exactly. You're
If you don't know a lot of stuff, you're trying to pretend, you get so complicated. Fallacies comes from here.
But you're talking about humbleness.
That's another subject. If you are simple, you are humble, and vice versa.
Exactly.
This is not two different aspects. Brother, let me tell you another expression.
Please.
It says, two persons are afraid of an empty gun. The one who is in front of the gun thinks he doesn't know. It's empty gun. He thinks
he's going to be
killed. He's going to be shot at. He's going to be killed. Mm. And the one who even has his own finger on the trigger, he knows there is no bullet in it. If the guy in front of him, okay, jumps on him, what is he going to do? Nothing. He has no bullets. So two persons are afraid of one empty gun. This is when you don't have the true knowledge.
Exactly.
Then you fear, okay?
Quite.
You have no power.
Very eloquent.
That's why you become simple. That's why you become humble, when you have a true knowledge. And true knowledge comes from
the true source.
Remember, I didn't say true teacher, because we don't call God teacher.
No. The true source.
That's a different story.
Yeah. The truth.
Okay?
The truth. That's
a
what
true
we're
source
about.
Is the most knowledge one, the most powerful one, the most wise one.
Yes.
I even shouldn't say the most, because when I use the word the most, it sounds like I'm comparing something with, you know, something else.
Sure.
But there is no way to compare it. The wise, the might, the knowledge one.
Yes.
So, the real source.
These are the sifat you're
God,
talking
God,
about God.
Yeah,
you know, the attributes.
The names.
Yes.
Which actually is action, which is power.
Yes.
When you're talking about God, you're not talking about the identity, the true sense of God. You can't do that.
No.
There's a tradition.
Hmm. Please quote it.
Tradition says, don't think about God, about the sense, the true sense of God. But if you want to get to know God, think about the benefits, or we call it ni'mah, the things that he gave us, which they become, they become sign of God, sign of his knowledge, his being, his power, and his mercy. Imam was simple because of this, because in the Quran.
Yes.
If you get to know Quran, you become simple. You don't need to get complicated. You don't need to get sophisticated.
Dr. Hasni, thank you for that, for what you've said so far, in terms of the discussion of the personality of the Imam. The simplicity, the honesty, these beautiful values that take us towards Allah, because really what we are talking about, the end of the day.
Brother, the point is this. If we get to know Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him, the way we're supposed to.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We become a good follower.
Yeah.
We cannot go astray.
No
matter what.
No.
We always steadfast on the right track, doing the right thing, of course, from A to B without any damage.
Well, the thing is that you come back to that legacy of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who was not able to put that down in words, but the Imam certainly did, and we hopefully will discuss that at a later stage as well. And that is that he talked about two things. He talked about the two legacies that the Holy Prophet left. That was the Quran and his family, the Itrati. And that was a principle. Let's continue this discussion into the next program, and we're going to look at...
God willing, we are going to.
Yeah,
if we get the chance, we are going to...
We'll look at other aspects of this simplicity,
exactly.
Honesty,
mm-hmm.
and the purity of intention. Mm-hmm. I want to go into this aspect.
Purity, that's a good subject also.
Yeah. God so let's, let, let's do that into the next program. Thank you, listeners, for being on the... for listening to us today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for giving me a chance to do so.
No, that's all right, Doctor. You're welcome, Dr. Hasni. And may the peace and blessings and mercy of Allah be upon you all. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you, brother.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل درجه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The ocean of dua.
Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidayn.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
Throughout the previous programs, dear listeners, we concluded that since in the different verses of the Holy Quran, and of course the traditions reflected both in Shi'i and Sunni sources, there are many cases of la'an specifically related to the Holy Prophet of Islam, expressing his la'an on the people like the ones who tormented his household, or the one who torments his neighbor, etc. Expressing la'an is not prohibited. Now, some Muslims opine that we are only allowed to do la'n in a general way. That is, we cannot curse a particular person whom we determine and decipher to be among those who, according to the teachings of Islam, deserve to be cursed. In the book titled as The Sacred Effusion, the commentary on Ziyaratu Aba Abdillah al-Husayn, or the so-called Ziyarat al-Ashura, available at al-islam.org, it's mentioned that the reality is quite contrary, because not only do we have proofs that establish the permissibility of la'n on specific people, we have many traditions where some of the signposts of the guidance clearly express their la'n on specific people, and sometimes by names. Of course, we do not negate that expressing la'n in small instances due to personal grudges or interests is abhorred and maybe forbidden, and sometimes dangerous as well, and nor do we encourage one to invoke la'n on those identities and states one does not know properly and completely. However, that does not mean that we restrict la'n to the general invocation of curse.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The divine scholar Mullah Muhammad al-Naraqi writes in his ethical masterpiece, Jami'u al-Sa'adat, that the truth is that cursing a specific person who is known to have the attribute of willful disbelief or wrongdoing is permissible. And what has been said about its impermissibility, to the exception of one about whom there is religious evidence, such as the Pharaoh and Abu Jahl, due to the possibility that whosoever possesses these attributes may abandon them and die the death of a believer, or in the state of penitence, and in a station of close to the Almighty Allah's mercy and not distant from Him, is a statement which should be ignored and not narrated. He continues and explains that we have comprehended from the speech of Allah the Almighty and His Messenger and the statements of the infallible Imams the permissibility of attributing the same to a specific person. And of course, it is clear that it is impermissible to attribute disbelief and volitional disobedience to someone without proper investigation. Then the divine scholar Naraqi states the different cases that the curse has been expressed by the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, may Allah curse the liar even if he is joking. And in response to Abu Sufyan's 1,000 verses of poetry in ridicule of him, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, O Allah, curse him on every letter that he utters with 1,000 curses. And he moves on to say that it is narrated that during the state of Qunut, of Amir al-Mu'mineen's obligatory prayers, he would invoke curses on Muawiyah and of course some others, despite being the most forbearing of the people and most forgiving to whosoever does evil to him. If he would not consider his invocation of curses as being among the acts of divine obedience, he would not have chosen its place to be the obligatory prayers. So the fact that the expressing of La'an has been recorded in the Qunut of these obligatory prayers of Imam Ali alayhi salam can be taken as a proof that it is not prohibited at all. And of course, there is no problem with invoking La'an on a specific person. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
The Light.
An extraordinary concert has entertained hundreds of people in the German city of Dresden. Musicians performed underwater while five steamboats accompanied them with their whistles. The City Symphony Orchestra organized the event in an attempt to boost up people that is exhausted by the COVID-19 pandemic. Residents welcomed the program, describing it as a glimmer of hope. They believe that the unusual concert was good for heart and soul.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Raphael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way, we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Birkenen landed the front flip at the Audi 9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the 9s featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a Greek capital, Athens. 200 colorful drones performed a short harmonized display illuminating the night sky. Their colors and shapes were changing alongside music tracks. The show, organized by the Athens Cultural Center, took place 120 meters above the National Opera and Library. An Afghan woman has received the gift of life at a most unlikely time while flying. 26-year-old Saman Nouri was on a plane bound for Birmingham when she started having contractions. She gave birth to a little girl in an altitude of 10,000 meters with the help of the cabin crew. Born in Kuwaiti Aerospace, the baby is named Hawa, which means Eve or Air in Dari. Both mother and daughter are completely healthy. The aircraft was carrying Afghan citizens evacuated from Kabul. The passengers left behind their old lives, but were gifted with a new one in the process. After all, life does find a way. A French graffiti artist has created a monumental mountaintop project to encourage a more contemplative approach to life, aiming at lifting people's spirits. The giant 1,500 square meter painting is called A New Lease of Life. It was painted on the summit of Mollison Peak in the western Swiss Alps. The 32-year-old artist says he was inspired by the likeness of childlike wonder. The mural depicts a little boy blowing bubbles in an area known for its clouds. The artist says he wanted to reflect the link between children and sky gazing.
I think we live in a world that includes anxiety, and we need a little lightness to balance it. So I believe that the clouds mean dreams and imagination. When we were kids, we liked to imagine shapes in the clouds and so on. And I believe that this is a moment where we have to breathe and also imagine the world of tomorrow with a certain lightness through daydreaming.
Saif also says he designs his creations to fit in with the environment using biodegradable paints made from natural pigments. The French artist is known for his massive graffiti works on grass that are best seen from the air. Some of his other works have adorned an impoverished shanty town in South Africa and the lawn in front of the UN headquarters in Geneva.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
One of Mexico's largest zoos has launched a one-of-a-kind exhibition with the star of the show being a manatee couple. Visitors will be able to see the couple at the new exhibition, which is part of the largest aquarium in the country. The zoo received the manatee couple from the Caribbean with the intention of raising awareness for the protection of the species. Part of the ticket proceeds will go toward conservation efforts. Manatees are fully aquatic, mostly herbivorous marine mammals that are sometimes known as sea cows. These funny-looking creatures are endangered because of pollution and fishing techniques.
Paleontologists in Egypt have discovered fossilized bones of an ancient whale that could probably walk on land and swim in water. Scientists found the skull, jaw, and some ribs and identified the parts as the 43-million-year-old ancestor of the modern whale. It's also the earliest type of semi-aquatic whale found in Africa. The whale is estimated to have been 10 meters in length, weighing over half a ton, and was likely a top predator. Scientists say the four-legged whale is a key new species that helps trace the transition of whales from land to sea. Paleontologists believe that the ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals living on land over a 10-million-year period. The fossilized remains were discovered in Egypt's western desert, which was once covered by sea. A French beekeeper has invented a unique device to keep his beehives safe after suffering a traumatic loss of 35 of them to hungry Asian hornets. The device is a one-way mechanism that baits hornets with sugary water, and once they get in through a funnel, they never come out. Originally, the trap was made of wooden crates and metal mesh, but now they are 3D printed in plastic. Dennis made his first lobster pot to catch the hornets in 2016 and now makes the traps in bulk due to growing demand. The Asian hornets are an invasive insect that arrived in France via a pottery shipment from China. The killer hornet can eat through an entire hive in a matter of hours. There is a festive occasion for a Mexican zoo amid a rare birth boom in its lion enclosure. Keepers and visitors are amazed to hear roars of three newborn cubs. The three baby lions that are trying very hard to roar were born just 2 weeks ago in Zacango Zoo. The zookeepers separate them from their mother for a few hours a day to feed them because their mother cannot produce milk. The two female and male cubs would live under constant surveillance for a couple of months so that their health is reassured. They are reported to be currently in good health.
A bunker built by the German army in France during World War II has now been given a new lease of life by turning it into an underground guest house. A 4,300 square feet bunker located off Breton coast in northern France was originally built by Nazi troops after invading the country in 1940. The area has been the home of hundreds of such fortifications of the German army. Half of them have been buried along sandy beaches. This underground guest house now belongs to the 52-year-old bunker enthusiast. Serge Gollio says it took 18 months to dig out the buried trench and turn it into a fully functional guest house. He says an attempt was made to preserve some historic aspects during its renovation.
What is nice is to now be able to spend time here, to have dinner, to spend the night and things like this. So we adapted the bunker while preserving a certain feel. We wanted to give the building a second life, so we are not going to live in the past forever. We saved some aspects, you know, where you are. There are historic cues, but this isn't a museum either.
Collio says many French visitors and foreigners, including Germans, have stayed in the guest house since the bunker opened a year ago. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas, such as snowy mountains, grasslands, and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other. An architectural firm in Singapore has come up with a unique idea to deal with the country's constant warm temperatures. A hotel on the island's busy business district has been covered with more than 20 species of creeping plants to keep the place cooler. A layer of vegetation blankets the facade of the Red Tower, which is growing thicker with the passage of time. The plants reduce the ambient temperature by a combination of water evaporation and releasing cooler vapor. The architect says the tower is 10 to 20 degrees Celsius cooler than nearby buildings. The green facades also reduce harmful carbon emissions, which account for over 20% in a spiraling city.
The annual Buddha sculpture has been unveiled at the New York State Fair to the delight of eager spectators. The artwork was sponsored for the 53rd year by the American Dairy Association. It was carved out of 400 kilograms of butter and took 10 days to build. The sculpture is dedicated to the children who will be going back to their normal lives after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Once the fair ends, all of the butter will be broken down and turned into renewable energy.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Previous episode, we started talking about corruption, and you might ask, what is the relationship between corruption and human rights? And the link and the connection is very simple, that when there is corruption in the system, be it on a level, a low scale level or high scale level, the rights of people will be taken, be it in a society, be it in a community, be it in a country, or even globally. So this is just very obvious. So we're trying to maintain human rights. We're trying to maintain the fact that you and me are still having our rights preserved, not taken, and it will get taken through the process of corruption. When we want to talk about corruption, we have to understand the definition and the meaning of corruption. Why? Because the word itself, from one place to another, from one science to another, from one country to another, from one field to another, you get the picture, right? It changes meaning. So the meaning is not always the same. So what you see corruption, for example, in science is not the same as corruption in politics. The corruption in politics is not the same as corruption in morality, and so on and so forth. So we try to define the word corruption in a way where it's simple to understand, and how we can relate this definition or that meaning of the word to our topic, which is the human rights. Therefore, the word corruption is derived from the Latin word corruptus, which simply means corrupted, and in legal terms. So this is just when we talk about it legally, what does it mean to be corrupted, or what does corruption means? In legal terms, it means the abuse of a trusted position in one of the branches of power, right? So we just want to make this very simple. When we have different positions or different branches of power, I should say, we have three. One, executive, legislative, and judicial power. So these three powers are basically what governs a society, governs a government, or even governs the world. When these three positions are occupied by people, and the people in these positions abuse their power and these three branches of power, then the system falls apart. All right, so that's why it's absolutely important. Or in politics, be it in these three positions, the three powers, or in politics, or even in organizations, with the intention of obtaining material benefit, which is not legally justified for itself or for others. So it kind of corruption is like a cancer that spreads through the body without control. So be it in the branches of power, or be it in politics, or be it in organizations, this corruption happens. Why? With the intention and the aim of obtaining material benefit, and sometimes even not only material, but sometimes even pleasures as well, right? So it has to be material, whether it's physical or non-physical. It works both ways, corruption happens. And we use legal means, obviously, sometimes, to justify it, be it for ourselves or be it for others. Now, this is just a simplistic way of defining corruption. We will continue, but let's take a break and we come back. So stay with us.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you're still listening to the program For Humanity. Just before the break, we identified or we explained the meaning of corruption, which we said it is an abuse of power, be it in the branches of power or be it in the political organizations with the intention of trying to obtain benefits. Corruption itself, it's a moral vice before anything else. So before we go into the details of things, it is, in fact, a moral vice. A moral vice that was, you know, spoken about even in the Bible. For example, the verse that comes to mind in the Bible where it talks about corruption or bribery, to be precise. The Bible says, do not accept bribery, for a bribe blinds those who see and twist the word of the innocent. But that's the Bible simply saying, well, if you indulge yourself in bribery, which is a form of corruption, then it will literally blind your eyes, and you know, you will end up taking the rights of others. If you look at it from in the Quran or from an Islamic perspective, Quran takes a hard stand against corruption. Allah, for example, in the Quran says, "Inna alladhina yas'auna fil ardi fasada," those who seek and those who put an effort to create corruption on earth, Allah says he gives very harsh punishment for them. The Quran takes a hard and harsh stand against corruption. And why is that? Why? The answer is simple. Because it takes the rights of other people. It demolishes the rights of other people. When I and those who are like me, I try to gain matters or materials through the process of corruption, then the rights of others are taken, and you know, people will die of starvation, people die of hunger, or sometimes even simple things. The time of people is also valuable. If I put myself before others through my connections and my, let's say, my ability to, you know, put myself before others, I have taken the time of other people, which in fact is also itself is a moral sin, because you know, you, my time and your time are also valuable. Why should someone else take it? Also, that's a form of corruption. So all these things, when they come together, at the end of the day, we cause what? Corruption on earth. However, the history of corruption is in fact related to the beginning of creation of law, and not just law, and the state as well, and was already in the antiquity considered as an evil. So even people back in the day, when there were laws and they tried to break these laws that corrupt through the form of corruption, people looked at corruption as an evil act that one should not dwell in. And this, like we said, it didn't come today. It wasn't just done in the previous century, but it began with humanity. Whenever there's a law, there are those who try to break these laws to gain worldly benefits through corruption by taking the rights of other people. Now, let's end it here, and inshallah, we will continue this in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salli ya Rabbi ala Taha al-Amin, rahmatin arsaltahu lil alamin, wa ala alin nabiyyi ajma'in, fa bihim arjuka ahsin khatmina.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to our program Islamic Upbringing, wherein we discuss problems, issues, and just general questions that parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of our answers are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the household of the Prophet and the Prophet himself, of course. Joining us in our studio is our guest speaker and expert, Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, who is a researcher at the Islamic Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us again, dear Sayyid. Our question today regards complimenting our children and how important it can be for their personality. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many parents, they think that the things that their children do, you know, the good things, is just a natural thing. That's what's supposed to be done.
It's what it is expected of him.
Yeah, it's like if my kid brushes his teeth, yep, that's it. That's his job. If my child, for example, cleans his room, yep, that's his job. Child does his homework, yes, this is his job. It's that sometimes we have this idea and belief of things that we never compliment them on. But the minute they make the simplest mistake,
we strike down hard.
We not just strike down, we scold them, right? We whoop them hard. And we start yelling and screaming at them. So why is it only, you know, the good things are just, they're meant to be natural, that we don't need to compliment, but anything wrong is not natural that we need to punish. Doesn't seem to be very fitting. It doesn't seem to be very
just. No, you just put it that way, it doesn't seem logical,
doesn't seem very fair. So in the same way that you would scream at them at the simplest mistake, so sometimes, like, imagine this. A child, like, you're watching TV, you're watching a soccer game or something, and the child passes the TV, and you yell at him, like, move, right? I'm like, take it easy. So the simplest thing provokes you and makes you yell at them and scold them. But when they do good things, no one, it goes unmentioned. Children themselves, in their tiny, small brains, they need to be complimented for anything and everything, right? Even if it doesn't exist. Sometimes, like, mind you, as adults, we need to be complimented.
Yes, that's what right.
I finished this program. I'm expecting the producer to come say to me, "MashaAllah, that was the best program ever."
Right. Yeah.
It's a human nature. Like, well, I'm not doing it for real, but it's a human nature that we need to be complimented for things, even though we should not, take it to an extreme limit. But kids need to be complimented for the simple things that you think they are natural and they should be done and they are the norm. You need to come and give them compliment for it.
Also, we need to remember, you are a grown-up, you're an adult, you know that this is how the things should be. This child knows nothing.
Exactly. So, if the child brushes his teeth every night, tell him, good boy.
For example.
Right? Excellent, well done, great, you brush your teeth.
Good job.
So, it becomes, he gives him an encouragement that he keeps doing it in years to come. I said brushing teeth because no one ever complimented me.
Right.
as example. So that's how it goes.
They will say it. We will just take a quick break. We'll be back shortly, dear listeners.
When I was born, the first words that I had heard were the words of Allah being whispered through my ear. And as I felt Allah's presence in my soul, that day Islam took me in its fold.
Dear listeners, welcome back to your program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how important it is to compliment our children because it enforces good behavior and it also teaches them what is good and what is expected. Dear Sayyid, please continue.
So, therefore, when we see them do things, we need to compliment them. That's one thing. Another thing that we need to keep in mind, because we constantly busy as parents, especially if we're working and stuff like that, and we don't have enough time to spend with our children, give them whatever they require, especially when it comes to complimenting. But that time that we are with them, so let's say I come back from home around 5 o'clock, and I have 2-3 hours with my kids before I go to sleep, and I'm tired. And obviously I'm not complimenting them for anything they've done good, because I think it's natural.
Right.
But then again, every time they do a mistake, I pick on it. I yell at them. I fight at them. And then what the brain of the child will do is he will associate me only with negative feedback.
Right.
So it's like, this guy, all he does is just gives me bad and negative feedback.
Just like good cop, bad cop, but in a parent
Yeah,
way.
So there's always just a bad cop.
There's always the father who's yelling, and there's the mother who's the compassionate one, or the opposite way.
Exactly. So the child says, okay, this person, nothing but negative comes from him, and I need attention. And if I want attention, I want to get it from my father and my mother, right? I want that compliment and that attention. But this guy is constantly negative. There's nothing good in him. So what are you doing to the child? You're making him go somewhere else. Either he gets deprived of it, and we spoke about what happens when a child is deprived emotionally in other episodes, or he goes seeks it elsewhere, and also this is not something that we want. So we need to make sure that the children